Okay, good evening, everyone. This is like take three, but anyway. Welcome. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board, National Finance Committee. It is August 21st at 5:42 p.m. Pacific and 8:42 p.m. Eastern. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm the chair of this committee and a KPFA listener rep. And we'll start off by having our secretary, R. Paul Martin, call the roll from WBAI. R. Paul?
Okay. Ken Aaron. Jim Boyd?
Here.
Bill Prozier? Bill Prozier?
Bones. Here.
Marcus Jeter? Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Who just said here?
Campbell Johnson.
Okay, Campbell Johnson. Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin. Here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Lavard Williams. Let me go back. Ken Aaron, are you here? No. Marcus Jeter.
R. Paul. Ken asked for an excused absence. He has a co-scheduled meeting with the Technology Committee.
Okay, so he's not here, and so Mark Jeter, last call.
Okay, and LaVarne Williams is unfortunately at Kaiser, so she can't be with us either.
All right, so we have, what is this, Ace, so that's quorum.
Can you hear?
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Apologies in advance for the background noise. There's going to be some, but I will get on mute as much as I can. That's just the way life goes sometimes. And if we'll hold on just a second, we will start off by taking a look at our draft agenda, which is not too complicated for tonight. It's not coming up, but I think I can mostly do it from memory. Item 2 is we will approve our pending minutes. Item 3 is we will...
You want me to do this, Tracy? I have them right in front of me.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, roll call, approved draft agenda, approved minutes, finalized Houston budget, approved and forwarded, approval and forward to PNB. Wait a minute.
That's not the agenda I had.
Yeah, no.
Okay, give me a second.
Oh, I see.
I fell offline. I will take care of it.
I got it, too. Okay, roll call. Approve agenda, approve pending minutes, WBAI budget, time certain at 6 o'clock, fourth quarter forecast, KPFA, KPFK if time allows. Interstation transfers may need to be postponed.
Okay, thanks a lot, Kim. Are there any modifications or changes to that agenda?
Yes, I don't know if this is a question or an agenda item, but... We know that we had issues with the CPB based on the way we accounted for our premiums.
Right.
Has that been accounted for in these new budgets about how that's going to go down now?
We brought it up in Texas, and we dealt with it in Texas regarding the payment of the penalty.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about going forward. Like,
mm-hmm.
We were misdoing it before. Are we doing it now, and will it reflect on the budget?
Yeah, no, it doesn't reflect. Barbara, please ask to be called on. It doesn't affect budgets. What it affects is the way that we report the numbers on our CPB reports. We reported our premium costs incorrectly to the CPB. There is a penalty for that, and we do have to take that into account in budgets.
Okay.
But it doesn't... Yeah.
It doesn't affect, they don't cost different on our budgets or anything. It's just reporting to see. And that money that we're paying is penalty, not a readjustment of costs. Okay.
Yes. That's my understanding.
Okay. Well,
Barbara,
enough for tonight.
Okay. Barbara, did you want to add something?
Well, my understanding was that, in fact, I guess Efren knows ahead of time how much we're each getting, and we were instructed to deduct one-third of our penalty from this coming year's budget. And the question that was still open was when CPB was going to start, whether they were going to start with 2013 or with the next year. But the discussion that we all had, we were told to start it now, you know, start it with the 2013 budget.
Okay, that's not my question, Barbara. That's the penalty. I thought there was a different accounting procedure going forward. So
I was clarifying
that. My question's answered. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, so that wasn't quite a change to the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? Okay, so the agenda is approved. Any objections? Okay, done. Then we will go to the approval of the minutes, and I believe that we just have one set from the August 14th meeting. Is that correct, Arpal?
Yes, it is.
Okay, if you want to go ahead and take us through that part, are there any objections, modifications, or changes to those minutes? They were emailed out earlier today.
No, I have none. I've actually read them, and I have no changes. So,
awesome.
I make a motion. We approve the minutes.
Any objections? Minutes are approved.
Moving
along. Okay. So, the KPFT budget we have approved, and it has been sent with the Excel template to the PNB. So that's over and done, just to close that item. And we are now turning to WBAI. Alex, is Bertold available on the call? Should we go get him?
He's here.
Okay. Hi, Bertold.
Hi. I'm always available, Tracy.
Okay, just checking. You might not have figured that we would get up to you so fast, but it looks like we actually did.
I was impressed. This is the most...
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have had a WBAI Excel template and also a PowerPoint since August 14th. It was sent out to the whole board on August 14th, so presumably people have had some time to take a look at it. I think what we'll probably do is we'll go in order from the BAI general manager to the BAI treasurer, to the BAI ranking member, which is Alex, hear what they all have to say, and then we can do some questions and answers after that. Does that sound okay? Okay. In a perfect world, if you all could keep your comments in the, 5 to 10 minute range, so we can hopefully get this budget discussion done in 60 to 90 minutes, that would be great. But, tell us everything that we need to know. And so, Bertold, we'll start with you. And I think what we'll do is hold questions till we get through all three. And then we'll...
All three? Well...
Bertold, and then Arpal, and then Alex.
Okay. All right.
Can we start with Arpal? I mean, I don't really know what to say except that, the budget is, pretty transparent. It says everything that we assume... assume 100% essential service, which is different from what people are expecting. And, we have some projections, I think it's pretty realistic.
Okay.
We have implemented a lot of the changes and a cut in expenses.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one cut that we have not implemented yet. It is about a $40,000 cut in staff, and so we would rather leave that outstanding so that if anything happens better, then we cannot do that cut since we're already short of staff. But that's basically it. We made a lot of cuts, and then I think those are going to be the major questions. How do I expect to handle those cuts, those reductions in premium costs? Why? And I'm just directing you to where you should be putting your a lot of the questions. And that's basically it.
Okay,
well, I am sure that we will have questions for you. So hang around, and we'll go through the rest of the BAI folks, and then we'll probably wear you out with questions. So, Paul, is there anything you want to say in terms of presenting this budget?
Yes, there is. Okay. Basically, this is a conservative budget. A lot of this is proven stuff.
Hey, Paul.
Okay, somebody said something. A lot of this is proven stuff, and it's really been, that's basically it. I mean, in the past, we've seen numbers of budgets from various stations, including the UPAI, I could say, a while back, that were not based on really proven numbers, and this is, for the most part, based on that. I think it's a conservative budget. And you will see that because if you look at line 4, listener support, you will see that we're actually projecting that it's going to be lower. And so it's proven that we can raise that kind of listener support because we're going to do it. And it's lower than last year, just to make sure that the amount of revenue is going to be made. So right there, that's the biggest revenue item, and barring something really catastrophic, we are going to make that. Lines 13, 14, and 16 in the Excel spreadsheet is bollocked up because, once again, I raise my complaint about the way that the Saturday morning ticket sales at WBAI are registered on these spreadsheets. It makes it hard to figure out. If people want to, I suppose, manage it and go into this later on, because you've got those lines mixed and matched. So at one point it looks as if it's in a deep hole, but then if you look over at the other numbers, if you add them all up, they come out about right. We had a small difficulty with those ticket things that raised money for us on Saturday morning this year because the guy doing it took a vacation, which he hasn't had in many years. So he wasn't there for about 4 weeks. And so, we had an unexpected lack of ticket sales. So it is not anticipated he's going to go on vacation again this coming year, so, there's that. Line 7, website income. The general manager, I think, will probably have a bit to say about that as people talk about it, so I'll let him talk about that particular thing. Line 30, salaries and related, is down due to significant staff cuts. Significant. It might actually be too much in terms of staff cuts. I am concerned that we could end up with some staff getting burned out because people are doing this, that, and the other thing. People get paid to do a full-time job is 35 hours at WBAI, and people who are paid to do 35 hours generally do a lot more than 35 hours. And the same, you could prorate that for the people who are working part and half time and all of that. This includes, by the way, the general manager, who does tend to stay there to all hours and does a lot of jobs. Line 49, net income loss, is positive 52,233. And it will be really great if we can achieve that. Whether we're going to do more than $300,000 better than an FY12 is the big question on this particular budget. There are various different things we're looking at here. As I said, this is a conservative budget. Is it going to be able to really nail down on the head what we're going to make and what our expenses will be? Of course, nobody has a crystal ball, but the big question is, can we do about $300,000 better in FY13 than we did in FY12? And I guess that's sort of what we'll be talking about for the rest of the evening. And that's all I have to say for right now.
Okay, thanks. That was a good survey. Okay, Alex, is there anything you'd like to add?
I think the high points have been touched on. This is a balanced budget. It's the first time in I'm not sure how many years that we're expecting to pay 100% of our central service obligations. Last year we only paid about a third of it, I think, maybe less than that. And the year before that we paid almost none of it. So it's a big change for us. I think the projections are realistic, which doesn't mean that there aren't a bunch of questions here and there about some of the assumptions. But on the whole, I think it's a realistic budget, and if anything, it's probably, in my opinion, underestimating only because there are certain revenue sources that we have not proven yet that we do hope and expect to bring in, but since they're not proven, we can't really put them in the budget. That's about all I have to say.
Okay, well, I think at this point, we would probably do well to go to sort of fact-based questions, which are basically, where does this number come from? Where does that number come from? I think, ideally, the way that we would kind of do this is we would go through question and answer, and then we would go through opinion-type comments after we do the question and answer part. So let's go to sort of questions, and these would be about, again, the origin of particular figures or concerns expressed about some particular figures. We're not looking at this point for broadsides about the goodness or badness of the overall budget. We're just kind of trying to verify the numbers that we're looking at. I have a couple questions, but I'd like to know who else wants to be on the stack.
Campbell first.
And let me also, to the extent possible, it might help if we're going to go line-by-line type questions to do the revenue questions first and the expenses questions second. It might help us to sort of not lose our place too much, but that's just optional for people. So I heard Campbell for the stack. Who else wants to be on?
Yep.
Okay. Was that Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, Campbell, Bill, anybody else? Okay, then I'll put myself on and we'll go Campbell and Bill and then me.
That's Jim instead of Bill.
And Jim. Okay.
Jim instead of Bill. I might want to come on later.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, so Jim's on. So we'll go Campbell, Jim, me. And in terms of answers, let's get all the questions out on the floor before we get an answer. And if you're addressing your answer to a particular person, to Bertol, to R. Paul, or to Alex, and say so. If you just want an answer from whoever can give you one, say that too. Okay, Campbell, you're up.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'll address this to whomever will, and you may respond in that regard. My question is about the ticket sales. This is something I've heard about for several years. I was wondering what item that is on the revenue side, and if there are any costs associated with it, and should WPFW want to, find out how maybe we might undertake the same thing, who should we contact? So there's three things.
I think that's going to be either Bertold or me. Let me go about it since I've been complaining for years. As I mentioned, the spreadsheet mixes these things up, and so it isn't easy to just read right across and see what's really happening, because at some point you'll see like line 14 appears to show that we, you know, made a whole lot and budgeted nothing, made a whole lot, and in FY13 we're going to do all that much worse. But that's not reality. That's just, it's on the wrong line. And then if you look at 16, which is Crafts Fair Other Events, you see the number, and that's where, you know, that's where this stuff is coming in. I am also told that if you look at line 13, I'm told some of this may be up there, too. In the past, this has been the case, I know. I'm not certain if it is this year. However, if you look at lines 14 and 16, and if you look at especially, let's see where to go over here. If you look at cell AC16,
AC
Alpha Charlie 16.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then if you look at cell Alpha Bravo 14, you can see that, you know, one of those is bigger than the other, and that's the one for FY. That's a real number, okay? And so it looks, I mean, as I say, it looks in cell AE14 as if, oh, geez, they didn't make a dime on this, but in fact, we did. As for the expenses for this, yes, there are. I've noted in the past that, from what I've been told, there's nothing in writing about the arrangement, which I kind of am not that pleased about, but there it is. People are paid, paid volunteers come in to answer the phones during this segment, and this happens every Saturday morning. And the reason for that is we used to just say, oh, well, people come answer the phones. And it was spotty. And they some people would come in and not enough, and they would lose calls. And, you know, they would end up with, you know, unclaimed tickets, shall we say, at the end of the radio program. And yet the phones were ringing, they just couldn't get to them. So years ago, management agreed with the person doing the ticket sales that he would bring in some people. They would be paid, I think it's a flat fee of, I believe it's $35, and they would sit there and they would take every phone call that came in, and therefore all of the tickets would be moved. So this, in fact, is what has been happening. I'll point out that the as I recall, the Saturday morning ticket sales thing has been going on since 1985 at WBAI. And one of the things I wanted to say about the expenses for it is the expenses aren't any easier to figure out than the revenue is, because as far as I know, that I'm told, that has gotten sort of mixed in with community events and et cetera. So it's very hard to tease these out. As for WPFW doing it, we have somebody at BAI who, for his entire life, has been a part of the New York City theater life. You know, there are people who are heavily into theater. There are producers and directors and all of this, and he's been doing that, and so he's very connected with everybody, and they all know him. So all the Broadway and off-Broadway shows in Manhattan, they know him, and he has a special in with people and says, could you please give me some tickets so we can, you know, let him go over BAI, and they give them to him, and he does that. So I guess you'd need to find somebody in the D.C. area who is very heavily connected with the show folks down there and see if they can get the same sort of deal.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you so much. And who would be the person at the station to contact to follow up on questions?
You can call me, and I'll have the interim development director follow up on that, because she's actually working with David Wattenberg right now, so that we can try to put this tickets that have not been taken on the site available so that we can have an interactive thing going on. And then we're trying to look to see if we can do that with other things like cabaret and all that stuff. Like, we're in New York City, so we're trying to find other hosts that can do the same kind of stuff.
Terrific. Thanks so much, Bertha.
You're gonna need an asset to like that in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
Right. And also, there is one. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. So I think with that, we're ready for Jim.
Okay. I had a one question on the revenue and the restaurant expenses. On the revenue, there is the reduction in the listener support, but there seems to be increases all the way down in the other categories of revenue that comes from people outside the station. I'm wondering on the corporate match, that goes up, the events, that goes up, major donor, that goes up, grants, that goes up, that are... Some of those are kind of substantial from the prior year. And my question is, are those realistic to add about $200,000 in increased revenue from those categories? Could I ask my other questions on expenses? Or have that one answered?
It's up to you. We can, if everyone has... ask their questions on revenue, we can go over those line item by item, and I can go over them like in 5 minutes.
Okay. Why don't we do the revenue first, and then the other ones are kind of expense related.
Okay. This is Kim. Jim asked the question I wanted to ask, so I'd be happy if we could, you know, get that answer before we move on.
That's good. That's fine with me.
Okay, so we'll take a moment and we'll go through the revenue increases line by line. They're told. So I guess what we're looking for is 5,001.
I'm looking at them.
Yeah, 5020. You can see.
Yeah. Well, I'll address all of them. Listener support, you know, that's obvious. We're still assuming we're going to do 122 days, and we're going to raise the same amount, more or less the same amount as last year, and our fulfillment rate is going to be down a little bit to 78.15. The question is why 78.15, and I already answered that question. I'm reaching out to major politicians, major donors. I'm going out there. We're organizing events. And I cannot guarantee that I will be putting all the efforts and time that I'm putting on focusing on premium, even though we've been training a few interns and volunteer and the premium supervisor and all those people. But actual real time put towards getting premiums out and then getting fulfillment up is important. And then I'm not going to be able to put all that time. So now that puts us back to donations below 1,000K. As I said before, donation below 1,000K, I do not believe that number is accurate. I am having a forensic analysis of that number by the new fiscal manager. And then we'll see where we go from
there. What is information? Which line are you on now?
Also, the fact that, I'll jump. We are having a major fund drive coming on November the 8th, the day after the election, hoping Obama wins because then the progressive will be happy. It's a silent auction. We have it on our website. I invite you to go and check it out. We have over $93,000, close to $100,000 worth of art donated, all free. We have one of the major galleries in Chelsea, on the main Chelsea Street, the 23rd Street, and near 10th Avenue. It's worth $10,000. It was also given to us. for free. And that guy, Steve Kasher, is going to give us, he's going to send an email to his distribution list, the progressives. And so we have been nurturing and connecting to our major donors and all that stuff. So we believe that we are going to have a whole lot of money donated to us. And whether it's below $1,000 or around $1,000, we think all of those two are going to go up, besides the fact that we have a really low-balled the amount of money we expect to make at that event. You know, the items are not online, and you can bid on them right now if you want. And then we have actually received suggestions for art pieces from L.A., and then we have a curator who's also vetting those things and working on them. So we expect, you know, we are reaching out to our major donor. We are also slicing and dicing our population, looking at the different zip codes, and reaching out to specific areas. So that would be for 5,001, the 21,000 versus the 80,000. And that would also be for the 5,752, the 57,000 versus the 25,000. So if you look at those two together, that's a plus of $90,000. I think that's a very mild number, as far as I'm concerned, even though it has not been proven. So those two are very, very closely related. And you can ask me more questions about this. The website income, we are at 109,000 right now, and that's not even including money that we made in June that we have not received from the national office. So it's like the 109,000 actual is actually understated. Again, you know, I'm doing propaganda for BAI here. I invite you to look at our website. It's full of content. It's set up in a way that when you go into Google or look up stuff, if you put anything that we have done on WBI, it will bring you right there. When Gore Vidal died, we are the second page on Google search, on the top of the second page, because of the way we do things. We have about... I actually look at our website, but we have program of it, articles, news, event calendars, science, health, public affairs, and music articles. We have articles that are being posted on a regular basis on our website that are progressive and address the community. We are working with the staff to start posting their shows or segments of their shows with a small writing. We do believe, I know that the website is going to make a lot more than $111,000, a lot more. But obviously, we are being cautious here. We have, it's very interactive. Our news department, we have 30 minutes of news every day on the air. It's all posted on the website, and you can go in the news area and look at all the news that we have ran for the past month and a half, 2 months, 3 months. Our traffic on the website on Google Back is showing us that we have about 50,000 members or visits a month. I'll tell you exactly the number right now looking at it. 51,000 visits, 23,000, 24,000 unique visitors, 138,000 page views. We have people from U.S., England, Brazil, Mexico, all kinds of places. So we have been generating a lot of income, a lot more income on the website, on the givetowbi.org website, and then that has been enhanced by our new website also. So we believe that we're going to make a lot more money than that, $111,000. Corporate match. Corporate match of $7,453 is like very, it's unbelievably low. It doesn't make any sense to me. I have gathered a list of all, I don't know if you know Memphis, you can run a report and ask it to give you some specific things. So I have a list of all the members who have donated and for which, for whom we have received corporate match, who are active and non-active, and we're going to reach out to those people specifically. I know corporate match is probably higher than that because Andrew Katz alone had someone who had given to Amy Goodman and had done a match of over like $5,000-$10,000 all by that one person. So I know this is understated also over there. Interest income, I really don't know what that is, so I reduced it by 3 times. I'm investigating that number. We don't have any major investment that would give us $21,000 of interest, so we need to take a look at that. So I reduce it to a third. Community events. For community events, let me read you answers that we have given. Community events. We have a George Galloway event coming up soon. We've met with the West Harlem Development Corporation. We're supposed to evaluate and decide on spending in that area and to monitor Columbia University spending. The IZ arranged meeting for us to meet with the Progressive Caucus of the City Council. So far, we've met with Debbie Woods from Staten Island, Melissa Marvivirito from East Harlem, Brad Linder from Brooklyn, Brooklyn, and Jemani Williams from Brooklyn, the Flatbush, West Indian area, and so forth and so on. Besides having met with those people, and besides having established a relationship where they are going to, the promise that they are going to forward to us the application for the first, as soon as we get the application for discretionary funds for us to apply, they are also connecting us to the community that they are serving and working with. They are also sending us press release on the major events and things like that are going on. So we are reconnecting to the community. But besides that, we have in George Galloway in conversation. We have David Wattenberg, who's going to do a book signing at the Strand. This is all coming like this month. As a matter of fact, this may happen even before the next budget comes in. We have Chris Hedges, who's going to do an event with us. We have also I forgot. Oh, Bob Fass, Radio Unnameable. We are doing something with the Film Forum, who is also a partner with us, and we have also partnered with a whole lot of stuff. I'd like to announce officially and publicly right now that we are also partner with the Apollo Theater, and we're working in unison with them right now to find out good deals and times they're going to be able to make that space available to us to do different things or to have tickets available. So these are the things that we've been doing that I kind of projected at the last budget. We did not manifest themselves because, you know, it took like about 8 months to a year for us to really establish those connections and links. And so I do believe my community events is going to go up. And this is only by $40,000. That's nothing. Because basically we average $10,000 in events, so we're talking about 6 events or more. And the George Galloway event alone, George Galloway is going to come to make to have a tour, and we have been partnered with Alwan for the Arts, which does art for the Arabs community. We're going to do a mailing for us and then partner with us to promote the George Galloway event. So we do believe we're going to be making a lot more money in community event, and we believe that $17,000 so far projected for 2012. Is like is really, you know, it was bad performance. As far as community event, David Wattenberg, WAP 5751. You have to take 5751 and also compile that with 5760. So those two together would match. So you're really comparing 5751 actual 114,000 to 5760 budget 160.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the new business manager, I intend to get this over once and for all and have either the national office or WBAI agree with each other to put those things in one line and then to do the reclass. The problem is no one wants to do the reclass because there's a lot of work, and everyone wants to think that their side is the right side. So the net difference on that is about $46,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Berthold. That was helpful.
Yeah.
Jim, can we go to your...
And then as far as the CPB grant, my understanding was for a conversation with Arlene and LeVon that we were lowballed last time, and then those were we are definitely going to have a higher a grant based on after LeVon and Arlene spoke to the CPB and kind of had a good relationship with CPB people, and we understood that WBI... our minority status and you know, the amount of minority we have on our staff and the minority programming we're doing is much higher than they expected.
I got that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Tracy, my questions are...
Can you're not on the stack. Wait.
Can I make a... let me just... point of information here. My questions all relate to this revenue, which he's talking about.
Okay, we'll get to you.
Kim, before we go on to expenses.
No, we're on the stack. Jim has the floor. You can wait. You can ask your questions when we get to you. Jim, do you have a follow-up question? Do you want to go to expenses?
I guess the two questions I have on revenue, grants income, $5,800, is that is not submitted grants at this point. That's kind of a wish list because the money shows up at the end of the year. Okay.
Which one is that? Which one is that, Jim?
$5,800.
$5,800.
Line 18.
Grant income, others?
Yeah, that, you know, in around February is when this is really going to kick in.
But that is, those grants have not been prepared and submitted. Those are hoped for grants.
No, we. Besides that, we have sent over 200 grant requests all over New York this past year. You know, we have a stack of denials. We have a few dollars coming here and there, but we sent over 200 grant application and requests. Okay, we're just going to jack it up a bit, and then go to, you know, the discretionary fund from the city, the government, and all that stuff. But, yeah, we have been working on the grant. And basically, the bottom line here is, if you have never had an interim a development director for like 10, 15 years, you know, it takes a little time for people to get to know your name again. You have to attend events. They have to see your name. They have to start seeing you. And so that's what we're doing, and then that's why we're also talking with the politicians.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but, you know, you have a good point that, you know, that, you know, the $50,000 increase in that, you know, you could say that that's wishful thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had three quick questions on expenses, and this is kind of a general question on change in running the station. On consultants, $6,300. That went down quite a bit. Was there a change from consultants to employees?
Yes.
Okay. And but that's not. That would be changing job descriptions on if the same people are there.
What it is we kind of should not really be having those people as consultants. We should pay them separate, differently, even though they are just tally coordinators, and then they are kind of, how do you call that, temporary workers for or 1 month or 3 weeks at a time. you know, I was told by the, you know, the executive director and also by some lawyers that we should really put those in another category. So what I did is I reduced those consultant expenses and I put them as two equivalent FTEs. So therefore, they affected also payroll, taxes, you know, all those other things related to salary.
So when our Paul said that there was a substantial cut in employees,
yeah,
even more than it shows up in employee salaries, because there were individuals changed from non-employee to employee status then.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can go over that also. We can go over the cuts.
Okay. No, I figured that's what it was. I was just kind of curious on that. On there's debt retirement down there on line 115. It's not a category. What is that debt that's being retired?
This is I believe like to show goodwill when we when most stations were never able to pay the national office back and stuff like that. So they put you know, a small amount of money to show that the station was trying to make an effort towards paying that money, paying the national office back.
Okay. Yeah. The other question I have is kind of a global thing on the way, it looks like there's been kind of a change in some of the way things are done in BAA, and I'm just saying that based on what I'm seeing here. There seem to be some small changes in just items like the premiums. It looks like you're substantially cutting down third-party premiums, fundraise expenses change, shipping changes, advertising, direct mail changing a little bit. Looks like stringers are increasing. Looks like travel is going down, those sorts of things. And I'm wondering, have you had to put some internal controls or to inform people that things are changing at WBAI, and do you think that's gonna work to change things substantially in the next year?
Well, you know, when you say I put the word out as far as control, I Paul kind of mentioned that a little bit, but basically, you know, I work here from 10 to, I don't know, 10 midnight, 2 in the morning. And so I'm intimately involved in all those operations. So everyone who does anything in here, I know what they do as better than they do, or as well as they do, as far as operations and all that stuff. So if it's okay with you, I can go into those expenses as far as the premium, for example. We are charging now $5 shipping and handling that we never charged before. And so even though we have not accounted that in the revenue, so if you take that and you take it out of the premium expenses, that would put a big dent in that.
Okay. So I was just more curious. You know, there's some things where if travel is substantially reduced, then the employees have to know that there's no travel. And I'm just curious if there's been that type of communication, so everybody's on the same page of how things are going to be different.
Yeah. Well, some of the things that I've, like, I'll go over that, because a lot of those things are just reclassing things that were not classed properly, and I have them highlighted here on my budget, and I'll go over them line by line to show you that some of these things I believe were not entered properly, and then they are constituted a wash.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
And so we are going to, one of the things is that we are going to do an intrinsic review of the accounts and those entries and see how they go. And I really would like to go over that with the committee today on each one of those items and lines.
Gracie, I'm finished. If Ricole wants to do that after all the questions go, because some of them might be answered by the other questions by the committee members.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good. I have a couple of line items I wanted to ask about, and Kim is on the staff. Does anybody else want to be on the staff? Okay. All right, so thank you for the explanation on the revenue, Berthold. I understand it, and I'm pretty okay with these numbers. I just want to point out that you know, of the $223,000 increase that's being projected, 80,000 of that is CPB and apparently fairly secure, so we're talking about 140,000 or so. Primarily donations, with a couple of other items, but from what I'm hearing, there's some work going behind making that money actually materialize, and I think it's, as you said, reasonably conservative, and you're building in some space for listener support to go up and down a bit. And I agree that I think your website has income upside there. Because, again, you know, the work has been done. Okay, so I had some line item questions. Some of them got answered. Some didn't. The personnel stuff makes sense to me. And I appreciate getting things out of administrative expenses as consultants and getting them into payroll. I think that's better practice on lots of levels. Let's see. I got the legal. You talked about the interest expenses. There's something going on with your telephone system. Can you talk about that briefly?
All right. I'll just go into that.
Yeah, go ahead and answer that, because I have a couple more questions, and it's probably too much to remember. So answer about the telephone, and then
okay, the telephone system. I've been here for 2 years, and one of my mandates was to come in here and, you know, like, deal with the telephone system and have one phone system and all that stuff, and then that was it. Because there has been a disagreement between the national technician, John Almiller, and my local tech guy, Grayson Challenger, I've not been able to figure out what is the best way to go. The new telephone system was supposed to do everything, but obviously they didn't realize that we have 230 answering virtual line for producers to get messages and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and that did not account for that. So even though we got a new phone system, we kept the old phone system and a few extra lines to cover some of those things that the new phone system did not cover. Before this new budget starts, I have to make a decision one way or another to move on. I think I'm close to making my decision. I'm waiting for a few feedback from people, and then regardless of whether it's a good or a bad decision, we're going to go with one phone system. The new phone system we have is expiring soon, so like in another month or two, there has to be a decision to renew it or not to renew it, and then to also, if I renew it, then to ask of those people, you know, those services that we thought we were going to get as far as like the answering system and all that stuff, whether or not they're going to provide them for free or not, because once we asked them if they were going to be able to cover those, they mentioned that would have to cost us a whole lot more money. So that has to be done. You know, first of all, the contract is going to be over and it's going to have to be renewed, so an action is going to have to be taken. And,
yeah.
You know, the next action I take is going to be one phone system. I cannot have two phone systems.
Okay.
We've already spent $4,000 on the new entering system where we can create a virtual answering number anytime we want for any events. For example, when we have any events right now, we can just create a virtual number where people leave message, and then we can retract that message for a specific event. Like if we have a George Galloway event, we can just tell people to call a specific number, and all those messages will be for that event.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that all set up already. So that's the telephone system. It's like I'm going to have to make a hardcore, tough, maybe political and administrative decision.
Okay.
Our poll for a factoid?
Sure.
Yeah, the Bertold, are you talking about the Zoltis system?
Yes, the Zoltis system versus the old system. We still have the old system because
right.
We needed the old system to manage the 230 phone calls.
The Zoltis contract expires on February 10th of next year.
February 10th, 2013?
Yes.
There's a contract that's expiring soon. There's a part of a contract that's expiring soon.
Okay, the only contract I saw on the Zoltis was for 36 months, and it was dated February 10th, 2010. So, just a factoid.
The cost of the phone is not only the contract itself, but also the extra lines. So the extra lines are costing another $400 or something like that. So that will be done, even if the contract was to continue a few more months. If we cut off the line or whatever line, then that's $400.
Okay, I'm going to keep on going.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Gamble?
When you're, when someone else can come in.
What was that, Campbell?
I have a question that I wanted to ask and on the stack, and I didn't want to interrupt yours.
Okay, you're on the stack. Got it. Okay, where were we? Okay. All right, so leaving administrative and moving on to program, I appreciate the debt retirement in the budget. I think it's nice that it's there. I think that if we meet this budget in terms of 100% central services, that will make everybody ecstatic. And I'm not sure that it has to be in this budget in this particular way, and I might prefer to show more of a surplus than put that in there as an administrative expense, but that's just speaking for myself. Okay, onwards. Programming expenses. So it looks like in 2012 you spent about $20,000 on new services in line 139, that you're basically swapping that out and using stringers more heavily in 2013. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Fair tell? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I appreciate the increases in 6680 and 6681. I think the technical and engineering and maintenance shouldn't be understated, even if you didn't spend it last year. So that is good.
Yeah. We actually, although we, you know, we did a lot of improvement in equipment. We've received 19 computers from Columbia University, and of them, like 15 of them were operational. We have upgraded our news department completely to a totally autonomous department with archives, a network, intranet, backup, you know, totally autonomous, and then AP services, which is to break down 2 out of 3 months, has a dedicated computer that's totally operational, and then that's why they can take those information and load them into our website every night after they do the news.
Okay. All right. I have one more question in programming, which is 6701. It's called Other Programming Expenses, which is always one of those categories that is confusing. So I guess I'm asking, we allotted money last year, we allotted money this year, pretty much the same amount. We didn't really spend anything, so the question becomes, is that a real item? Is that an emergency fund? Does that need to be here?
What line is this?
Hold on.
It's line 148 in the Excel, and it's account 6701 under other programming expenses. And it looks to me like it just carried over from the 2012 budget without any real relationship to anything, so I'm just asking.
That is the Radio Research Consortium survey. That's the Arbitron survey.
Oh, Arbitron, okay.
We keep saying we should do. So
okay, that makes sense.
2,600 every 4 months or 3 months. So, mm-hmm. You know, putting it there because it should be there. We should really do it. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, how the powers that be are going to feel about
okay.
this. That's something that we should do.
I got it. Okay, the development stuff makes sense to me, and I'm, you know, and these reductions in development costs are happening at other stations throughout the network, and that is good. Community events makes sense. So my other question is just about capital expenses.
Yeah.
I have a question about the $26,000 in leasehold and building improvements. It's not that stuff doesn't break and need to be fixed, but you do seem to have gotten through 2012 without spending that allotment. And at this point in time, since we're certainly hoping that the occupancy situation will change in a fairly short period of time, do we necessarily want to allot that chunk of money to fixing up the property?
Where is that?
That's capital expenditures, leasehold building improvements. I'm thinking that's another place where we might be able to boost the surplus because I don't know that it's
a realistic expense.